Good morning.
Good morning.
It feels like it's been a long time since I've seen you. I'm glad you're here this morning. Peace in forgiveness. In June 2002, a 14-year-old girl was kidnapped from her home in Salt Lake City. She spent 9 months in captivity, in which her captors were a husband and his wife. They tied her up, raped her daily, and made threats about her family if she made any attempts to escape. In March 2003, she was rescued by the police and returned to her family. This ordeal would have left many of us in a permanent state of rage, but incredibly, not her. Shortly after her release, she made the decision to forgive her captors for all the things that they had done to her, the horrible things, and move on with her life. Forgiveness, however, did not come instantly or easily. It was a process. Like her, many believe that forgiveness is simple. And when she returned home from her rescue, she still thought about forgiveness in that way. It took time for her to realize that forgiveness is not a gift that you give to somebody else. It is something that you do for yourself while not excusing what has happened to you. She discovered that she could accept her past in order to reclaim her future. In time, her epiphany became that she had forgiven, she had let it go, and that forgiveness was a personal act of self-love. That child was Elizabeth Smart, and today she is an activist for child safety. In 2020, Elizabeth's story was published in Katherine Schwarzenegger Pratt's book, The Gift of Forgiveness, along with 21 other people's stories of forgiveness. Friends, will you pray with me? Our gracious and loving God, I open my heart to your Spirit so Jesus may take the words from my mouth and my heart to be acceptable to you as I share them with these friends today. Amen. It is the third Sunday of Lent. Finding peace in forgiveness feels like an appropriate topic for this season of spiritual preparation. Four short realities of forgiveness to start. It is very personal. It is between you and Yahweh, or God. It is not necessarily a two-way street, and it does not have to be shared with the one you are forgiving. And no two acts of forgiveness are alike. Forgiveness is a very hard concept to tackle because most people, including me, we want to ignore what is obvious and inevitable. When we do decide to forgive, peace will begin to heal the pain. Because I have been able to forgive childhood and young adult traumas, the words I share with you today are going to be much more personal. It will reflect some of my journey of learning how that forgiveness is not a weak stance, but rather it is a very courageous and a brave gift to give yourself, to leave the past behind and rescue your future so that you can live it differently. It is my hope that if you need to forgive someone, you will have the courage to do so. It doesn't matter how old you are, you are capable of letting go of the past and embracing a life of peace. First, what is the importance of forgiveness according to Scripture? And what did Jesus say about forgiveness? I did a little research and found these approximate statistics, depending on the translation. Love one another is cited 26 times and only in the New Testament. Be not afraid is cited 97 times, and it is in both Testaments. Forgive or forgiveness must be very important, as it is cited 161 times in both the Old and New Testaments. Forgiveness comes from the Greek word aphaami, which means to let go. Teachings in forgiveness are mostly in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and there was also quite a few that appear in the book of Acts. What does Jesus say about forgiveness? In Matthew 18, 21 and 22, Peter comes to him and says, "Lord, if my brother or sister sins against me, how often should I forgive them? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." This, of course, is hyperbole language. However, it means you just keep forgiving until you can let it go. An additional note for thought, forgiveness is not a package with a bungee cord attached. You don't hand it off to God to take care of for you because you're so tired of it. And then you mentally rest up and you take it back so you can continue to control your anger, your disappointment, or your disapproval. It stays with you because you didn't give it away to God. Both of our scriptures tell us, blessed or joyful are the ones whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, and forgive, and you will be forgiven. This morning, our scripture offers so much more examples of how we get ourselves into trouble in the first place. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive, you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eyes? Or how can you say to your friend, "Friend, let me take that speck out of your eye," when you don't see the log in your own eye? Human nature will always go at others first to fix them, to correct them, to give them unsolicited advice, long before we will ever examine ourselves. To illustrate this, we have two neighbors being, well, neighborly. Deb? And for those who will listen to this on audio later, we have a picture of a neighbor who has a teeny tiny little speck in his eye, who is probably just annoying. And then we have the neighbor who wants to fix everything. Thank you. This is a very powerful bad habit to break, trying to fix someone else and not consider your own issues first. You need to ask Yahweh or God for forgiveness and or the person you have hurt. Then ask for guidance or wisdom to stop being critical of one another. Examine and mend yourself first. Everyone has a backstory, and there are some days that we're just hanging on by a thread. One snarky little comment can send us over the edge. Again, our scripture says, don't judge or condemn others, as it will be done to you. Second, why should I forgive? I was wrong, incredibly wrong. Why do I have to forgive? They should be asking me for forgiveness. Well, that's a good question. In Psalm 32, we read that one who has their sins forgiven will find joy. They are blessed. In Luke 6, we read, forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgiveness can be threatening at times. It goes against human nature. We want others to ask for forgiveness from us, but we find it quite difficult to offer forgiveness to others. Yet Yahweh has commanded that we forgive so that we will be forgiven, just as God has forgiven us. Most of us could quote at least one scripture that gives this commandment from God. We say it when we recite the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It is not us. It is us, not them, that need to let it go and change our behavior so we can find peace in our lives. They are not bothered by it. They go about their business while it is eating us up inside. Forgiveness is something that we give to ourselves. And when we don't, we make future decisions based on damaged emotions, anger, revenge, hurt, disappointment. And these emotions severely cloud our judgment. All of those emotions taint us into believing that we're okay, but we will eventually suffer physically, mentally, emotionally from holding tightly to those emotions of anger, disappointment, and disillusionment. Since time is not kind or hardly on our side, the longer we wait, the harder it is to forgive. If we wait too long, it might even be too late, as regret begins to dig in deeper and take hold. In the past, I have made decisions based on revenge, anger, disappointment, and it was, of course, totally the wrong decision for my life. But instead of forgiving myself and changing paths, I stubbornly continued on the path so I didn't have to admit that I had made a bad decision. And then, what about when something happens to you that you can't control? Life-threatening diseases, diabetes, cancer, dementia, or a debilitating accident. Have you adopted that burden that somehow it is your fault? If you can't control it and you can't fix it, you really need to stop blaming yourself. You're slowly erasing the peace out of your life that looks much more like you're wallowing in your own self-grief. Give it to Yahweh and leave it there. Forgive yourself as many times as it takes for you to finally let it go. Ask yourself this third week of Lent, do I owe myself forgiveness so I can restore my future? Lastly, let's examine the dilemmas about forgiveness. So what happens after I forgive? Or, so what happens if I don't bother to forgive? While there may be a lot of dilemmas, we're going to scrutinize two of them, arrogance and procrastination. And the book of Sirach from the Apocrypha, chapter 5, verses 4 to 7, we read the answers that were given to the ancient people's questions regarding the importance of asking for forgiveness. Do not say, I sinned. But what's happened to me? The Lord is slow to anger. I haven't seen a difference. Do not be so confident of forgiveness that you add sins on top of sins. Do not say, His mercy is great. He'll forgive a multitude of my sins. Both mercy and wrath are with Him, and His anger will rest on sinners. Do not delay to turn back to the Lord, and do not postpone it from day to day. I've heard a few people in my time say, God's going to forgive me anyway, so why do I have to stop sinning right now? I'm just trying to have a little fun. In other words, why can't I just do what I want to do if I'm going to be forgiven anyway? All four of these verses begin with, do not. I believe we can understand this picture of Scripture quite well. Asking forgiveness means stop doing what you're doing, let it go permanently, change your behavior, and don't do it again. Arrogance in forgiveness is also refusing to forgive, either yourself or someone else. When in your soul you know you need to, and you just keep making excuses why you can't or why you won't. For the dilemma of procrastination, I have a personal story to share with you. When I was 12, I was sexually molested by a revered leader of our family church. When finally confronted, he was protected, and I was asked to keep it a secret. In other words, don't tell anyone, ever. That was a terrible burden to put on a child, to carry along with the emotions we'd talked about earlier, anger, disapproval, not being valued, and again anger for a very long time. And sadly, when one doesn't deal with the event or the incident fairly soon, it gets buried deep, very, very way deep. Because when forgiveness was not forthcoming for decades, the damage was done to me, not to him. When the time came to finally forgive, while not forgetting the pain that it caused me or making the kajillion excuses why I wouldn't, to really let it go and no longer interact with those emotions, there was finally a peace that invaded my soul and stayed there. Here's the procrastination dilemma. Why didn't I do it sooner? Well, I didn't think I had to forgive. He did it. And quite frankly, I'm not sure that I knew how. I was just a teenager at that time. If I had forgiven myself earlier or him sooner, would I be a different person today? Absolutely. However, on the other procrastination hand, I did go through a lot for the next 50 plus years. Is that what made me who I am today? Is that what I'm supposed to be? While a lot of time can be spent supposing, eventually forgiveness was the gift I gave myself. It was not a two-way street of discussion. It was not me demanding an apology. It was me forgiving myself for allowing the time to lapse and the mistakes made as a result. It was a perfect gift of peace. In closing, forgiveness, whether to forgive yourself or others, is tough. We have to use our not used very often emotion of vulnerability to reach out, to settle differences, to accept others for who they are and where they are right now in their lives, and to begin a life in our present day with opportunities that Yahweh presents to us. When we're looking for them and not bogged down with anger or regret from our past. When we put off forgiveness, we add to the burden of our past and take away yet another day of our future, a future that includes living in peace and with joy. I thought you might like to see an illustration of all of those words. So this is kind of fun, I hope. This is what we do when we live in our past and we start losing our life. So here's our past. We got some junk in it. And then this is us. So this is today. And we have a fuzzy future working out there. And so if we take care of this today, the future might look brighter. Yep. If we don't, stuff keeps piling up here. And look, our future's getting smashed. But we're still there. We have a single day, today. We can do something about this. Deb? If we don't, look what's happening to our future, where we find peace and joy. And look what's happening to our past. And if we continue on this, that's what happens to our future. We don't have a future of peace or joy because we're still doing this. We've got bubbles coming up. We've got madness. We've got all the stuff that we're dealing with in our head all the time. Thank you. We only have one day at a time, this day, right here, present. One day at a time to watch diligently for chances to show others who we are. We are brothers and sisters in Christ who live in forgiveness as Christ has forgiven us. Our future is closing in on us, especially us old folk. Each and every day, we're given a new day to find peace and then find joy in forgiveness. If we live each day as though it is our last day, living that day with peace is far better than living that last day in resentment and anger, because it only impacts us, and it seldom impacts anyone who has harmed you. And wonder if this is our last day. Something happens, and this is our last day, especially if he's all the way forward. We've lost our future altogether. It is my hope and prayer for each of you to settle hardships from your past, to let them go permanently, so you too can experience peace and begin to enjoy your every last day of life. Amen.